Hey man, it's good to see everybody out at the home group meeting today. Amen. Well, next home group meeting, which will be on the 24th of November, we have a wonderful surprise. And then we're going to have a guest speaker. If you will not listen to me, you will listen to Brother Ray. So Brother Ray is going to be speaking on the 24th of November, and I'm really looking forward to that. And so he called, and we've been talking, and he called, and he said, yeah, the Lord gave him something, and so I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Ray on the 24th. And so be sure and invite people and come out, and again, Karen will give us a little announcement at the end that will, it will be a wonderful time. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into Wilderness Truth from Modern Times, number 84. But before we do that, as we do, which is customary, and to kind of get our hearts moved in the right direction, we go ahead and we look at some points that we looked at last time, and that should bring us up to what the Lord would have for us today. Last time we come together, we looked at a place of rest. Amen? A place of rest. How valuable is rest in our life? Well, I will tell you, rest is the place that God wants to bring us to. He doesn't want to bring us to faith. He doesn't want to bring us to trust. He wants to bring us to rest. And of course, for us to get to rest, we have to go through faith. We have to go beyond faith to a place of trust. And then God will be able to bring us to a place of rest that nothing will move us. We will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Yeah. But that is after we go through faith, which is first, then trust, and then rest. Amen?
Amen.
Real faith and rest and trust is only found in following the leading of the Lord. Let me say that again. Real faith and trust and rest is only found in following the leading of the Lord. Mark's found on that a little more. And the second point there that kind of goes with that is a leading of God always comes after a work of God. So if there's no work of God in your life, then you're not going to have any leading of God. Let me say that again. If there's no work of God in your life, then you will not have a leading of God. Even in the 23rd Psalm, we see, He maketh me to lie down. Then it says, He leadeth me. He maketh me lie down, then He leadeth me. So the work of God, He maketh me to lie down, that's a work. I'm into a rest, then He leads me. He restoreth my soul, then He leadeth me. So without Him restoring our soul, then the leading will not happen in our life. So the leading of God always comes after God is able to work in our life. The next point is often a walk with God entails the leaving of our comfort and making as we make our way towards uncertainty. And that's what we were looking at in the wilderness of Beersheba, where we are with Hagar and Ishmael. They went ahead and they left the comforts of Abraham's tent, and they were sent out into the desert, into the wilderness, into uncertainty. Well, that's so true in our life. If we really want to walk with the Lord, we're going to have to leave our comfort zone, and we're going to leave our comforts and all of that stuff behind as we walk towards the Lord. But the fourth point that we looked at is we noticed the well of eternal life is in John 4:13 and 14, and we looked at that verse last time, is in us. Let me say that again, that well of eternal life, John 4:13 and 14, is in us. For our learning and for our sake and for others. Our learning is for our sake and others. The fifth point is this well inside of us is a big spiritual principle. It is a big, big spiritual principle. We can see that in Luke 17:21, where Jesus says that the kingdom of God is within us. That well, the kingdom of God is within us. Romans 14:17 says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and its joy in the Holy Ghost. That's in us. That's not the water. That well is Christ in us, and it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not the water, as we would often think. And the last point that we looked at last time is when we learn, we see our meager supply of things changing. When we learn, we see our meager supply of things changing. The focus then is changed from the supply to the supplier. Let me say that again. Then when we learn and we see these things changing in our life and things changing around us, then our focus is changed from the supply. I need this and I need that and I need a new car and I need a new job and I need this and all that. But when we learn, then our focus will change from all the things that we need, all of that stuff. Our focus then goes to the supplier, the one that supplies all of those things. So if there's no spiritual growth and development and there's no learning in our life, then we're always be looking for those things, all of the supplies that we need to do things, even things for God. But that's not where He wants us to be. He wants our focus to change off of the things that we need to Him.
That's right.
Because He is the supplier.
Amen.
Amen. So that was a place of rest. Today, we're going to move to modern times. We're going to look at a dwelling place. A dwelling place. My teacher, Walter Buehler, said, if you build God a dwelling place, He will abide there. If you build God a dwelling place, He will abide there. And that's our responsibility, to allow God to build us into that holy temple. And if we allow God to build us and work in our life, then He will dwell within us. Amen?
Amen.
As the verse we looked at, Genesis 21:20, and of course, still looking at Hagar and Ishmael, it says, and God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. Wow. God was with the lad, and the lad grew. Now remember, Hagar, his mom, they were kicked out in the wilderness. But there they found a place of rest, and they found this water well, and God, all these provisions and all these things came their way. And here, the lad, God was with the lad, and he grew. Amen. A dwelling place. Ishmael and his mother Hagar found a dwelling place in the wilderness of Beersheba, and later in the wilderness of Paran. And we kind of looked at that wilderness of Paran a long time ago. Away from their earthly health and provisions, and away from Abraham. If you really want to, see God, if you really want to be, used with God, if you really want to experience God, well, I will tell you, you must move away from all of this earthly thinking and all of our health. Amen? If you really want to be used with God and minister and do all of that stuff, we will have to move away from all of this earthly thinking and all of this earthly health that we have. That's one reason why I like going to, especially into Africa and other places. There's not a lot of resources there. You don't have all this nice stuff. I mean, everything is just rudimentary and stuff. And that is just, it's wonderful. We don't have this nice sound system and all this music and stuff. But I tell you what, in these little churches in Africa, God is there, in a great way. And so, if you really want to be used by God, you have to move away from all this earthly thinking and all this help. Why not live in the wilderness of Beersheba, where God can meet you there? There is a well of water that never runs dry. There is a well of water that never runs dry. Do you want to leave and go somewhere else? If so, there is a great risk you will take to leave the well on your own initiative, to take your own direction. Now, I'm going to kind of get deep here, because a lot of Christians want to do this one thing right here, and I'm going to kind of tell on myself a little bit. A little later I'm going to kind of tell on myself here. But if we want to go ahead and leave that well, then there's a great risk that we take in leaving on our own initiative to take our own direction. God is in our tough times, and He's in our struggles, and He will meet us there if we want. No matter what we go through in our life, if we are in Him, if He is our supplier, then God is with us even in our struggles. And we can only take with us what we carry or we can bear. when Ishmael and Hagar went out into the wilderness of Beersheba, she only had a fistful of bread and just a little jug of water. That was it. And that's all that she had to strengthen her, until she found that well. She only had that little bottle of strength. And if you go out from this well, you most certainly will come into far worse predicaments. If we leave the well, if we leave God, if we leave those things that God has purposed and planned for us, let me say that again. If we leave the things that God has purposed and planned for our lives, well, we will end up in a worse off place. I hope you're listening. I hope this is registering. I know a lot of Christians are trying to leave what God is doing in their life, trying to leave and do something else for God. They want to do something else, or they just want to leave. Well, if God wants you to leave, then He's going to pick you up out of that field that He's planted you in, and He's going to pick you up, and He's going to put you in another field. But you don't need to want to pick yourself up and go to that field. Let God do the picking, because if you want to pick yourself up and go somewhere else, you're going to get into serious trouble. But here in this place, you will find in that wilderness, in those tough times, and in those hard areas, you will find that well, which is God. You cannot take the well, that earthly water, with you. Some try to do that. But you can stay with the well. Don't insist that the shepherd follow you. We need to follow the shepherd. We cannot mix the earthly and the spiritual. John 3:6 says, that which is spirit, that which is flesh. So many Christians try to mix earthly things with the spiritual things and try to do these things, but that's not the way that God works. In Beersheba, became for Ishmael a dwelling place. Beersheba, the wilderness of Beersheba, the stark wilderness, became a dwelling place for Ishmael. He was brought there. God brought them there. He made the necessary adjustments to the situations, which was quite difficult and different from the conditions in Abraham's tent. We can dwell wherever so God directs us. Let me say that again. We can dwell wherever so God directs us, because He is there and He is God. David said, if I make my bed in hell, God is there. Wow. If I make my bed in heaven, the Psalm 139:8. If I make my bed in hell, God is there. It doesn't matter where we are and whatever we're doing, God is there. And we need not pick ourselves up and try to help God and move into a different place. We need to stay where God has us, and we just need to go ahead and look at Him as our supplier. After his experience, the need, the meager supply, the revelation, and the provisions, and things we've talked about in the past, he made his adjustment. And in this place, a new and strange and definite place, Ishmael lived under the blessings of God. In a tough place, in difficult situations, God was with him, and he lived there, and he prospered. As I said in Genesis 21:20, and the Lord was with the lad, and he grew, and he became an archer. The second key was used in that adjustment which was made, and further discoveries were followed. Amen. If there's no adjustment in our life, then there'll be no other discoveries found in our life. So as Ishmael was there, and he made that adjustment to where he was and the things that God was doing in his life, then other things happen. Adjustment must be made to a new place to dwell in. That's worth writing down. Adjustments you put in God must be made to a new place to where, we can dwell in. We too are able to live in the wilderness. God is there. Revelation is there. Provision is there. Everything is there. What else do we need? Must we insist upon leaving and having a rose garden without thorns? Do we want to, set up some other type of situation which is more to our liking? We too can live in the wilderness in whatsoever situation we find ourselves. With God, all things are possible. In Mark 10:27, right? All things are possible in that. Rather attempting to change our situation, we change. Let me say that again. Rather than attempting to change our situations, we change. All that we need is now existence, where we are. Matthew 6:26 says, "Behold, the fowls of the birds, or they sow not, neither do they reap or gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And yet, not much more better than they." God knows what we need to grow physically and spiritually. Let me say that again. God knows what we need to grow physically and spiritually. He has a plan for our nourishment and our growth. Wow. He has a plan for our nourishment and our growth. No need for our family and friends to change to make us happy. We adjust to what God is doing. No need for our family and friends to change to make us happy. We need to adjust to what God is doing. The birds did not change to survive, and we too need not change, but all we need to do is follow God. Follow God. Follow what God is doing in our life, no matter what that is, no matter what circumstance or situation you find yourself in. That all does not matter. What matters is, do you or are you going to follow God? If He personally feeds the birds whom His Son did not die for, how much the more does He care for us? How much the more He knows that what we need to take our body and our mind and our spirit to be able to soar like an eagle in the heavens with Him. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Wow. Why do we say and do things to make us happy? Why do we try to say things and do things to make us happy? All we need to do is what God wants us to do, because God knows what we need, right? Doesn't God know what we need?
Amen.
He knows what we need. And, you know, that is one of the first revelations that, you know, after we have the provisions and the adjustments and then the revelation comes in, the first revelation we need to have is God knows, and we got to believe this. We got to really believe that God knows what we need. And if we don't believe that God knows what we need, well, you know, then we're never ever going to be successful in God. Because that is the beginning of all of those other things that God has for us. As we come to Him and God has what we need, He's got a plan for our life, and then we can move on from there. He knows these things that we need in our life that will make us to become a runner that can run and not become weary. Those things that we need to strengthen us to be able to walk mile after mile down life's many roads without fainting. Receiving strength to mount up, to run, and to walk comes out of waiting upon God. Not upon the mountaintops or in the valleys, but waiting on God where you are. Wherever that may be. In whatever situation you find yourself, waiting on God is the place of receiving from God. Many Christians never receive things from God because they never wait on God. They never wait for God's timing, and they never wait for God to go ahead and do the things that He wants to do in His life, because we're too busy trying to run here and run here and do this and do all of these things. But we just need to kind of calm down, and we just need to wait upon God to do those things in us so that we can do those things for God that He wants us to do. Amen. We really must believe God knows what we need. We really must believe that. Many Christians don't believe that. Many Christians do not believe that God knows what we need. And again, you know, this is that first place of revelation that we must come to. Amen. All too often we want to mount up and run off to some other place on earth and even in God without receiving the strength and the vision to move in the direction of the focus and even the purpose for the plan. Wow. we really must just stay put and receive what God has for us. We really must just stay put and realize and receive what God has for us and that He can meet our need. We must make that direction in our life. Wait upon Him to feed you, to strengthen you, so that you will be strong enough to move when He gives you the commandments to move. Amen?
Amen.
Some parting thoughts. Do not press forward with your desires to alter your circumstance. I'm going to say that again. Do not press forward with your desires to alter your circumstances, believing that your needs will be met through such means. Now here's what I'm going to tell myself. I'm looking forward. I mean, I'm planning to go to Zimbabwe and South Africa, and I just, every time I hear about our friends in Romania and Bulgaria, and, I just want to go. Well, Marion, believe it or not, I found myself looking at websites that churches that need pastors. I actually found myself sitting there, oh, look at this church here in Oklahoma, or this church here, and I need a pastor, and do I fit that? I'm telling myself now. So, I caught myself doing this. Wow. I could do that, sure, and I could. I don't think there was a single church on any of those websites that I found, that I couldn't be the senior pastor. I think I was probably more than qualified, probably overqualified for most of those. But that's not what God wanted for my life. I was doing what, accountable myself, but I was looking at circumstances here, and I was trying to have my need to help the Lord met without the Lord helping me and doing what the Lord wanted me to do. We need to adjust to what God is feeding us. We need to adjust with what God is doing. Enjoy the banquet table He has spread before us in the wilderness. Wow. Many Christians faint, and the enemy gets them due to lack of strength and direction from the Lord. Did you get that? Do not want to change things in your life to make you happy. Yes. Do not want to change things, even for God, to make you happy. Come to learn to enjoy what God is doing, even if you do not like it in your life. Wow. Now that's a tough pill to swallow right there, but I will tell you that's the Lord. No matter what's going on, we need to come to enjoy what God is doing in our life. And when it's time for us to move from one field to the next, God will pick you up and here just plant you over there. Amen. Psalm 78:19 says, "Yea, they spake against God and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the water gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Yes, and more. God can provide His children in the wilderness. More than a bottle of water, and more than a good side of bread. Can God furnish your needs in tough times and difficult situations? Yes. Yes, God can furnish those needs in those tough times and difficult situations. If you can say, or if you say no, then you need to have a new look at your supplier. Because God can do that, amen? Let this place, wherever you are right now, not another place, become your dwelling place. Let this place, wherever you are, become your dwelling place. Live here until the shepherd takes you elsewhere. Mm-hmm. We want to take a new ground for God, but if the old ground is still up for grabs and the victory has not been won in our heart, we only fool ourselves in our religion and our working to win the victory. The victory is won only when we can say, God knows all things. God knows all things. God cares for me, even when things look bleak. And He knows how to meet my need. Now, this is not name it and claim it, or blab it and grab it, or fake it till you make it. That's all the prosperity teaching. But real faith, knowing through experience that God is there and He knows how to meet our need. And of course, our biggest need is more of God in our life. Amen? Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, Lord, we thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God, that You know how to meet our need, Father, Lord, that You love us and You care for us, Father. For no matter what the situation is, no matter what we're going through, Father, I don't care if it's the Chinese virus or sickness or whatever, Father, Lord God, You are there for us and You can meet our need. And we just thank You and we praise You as You met the need for Ishmael and Hagar, Father, Lord God. You don't love them any more than You love us, Father, Lord, and You will meet our need. And we just love You and we thank You, Father, Lord. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.